Yes, it is. Is that why you'll come? All right, I'll see you when you get here.
At 6 o'clock, start the recorder, and welcome to the National Airport Authority Board meeting for the month of June. Roll call, please.
Chairman Stevens.
Here.
Vice Chair Machigan.
Here.
Treasurer Rosenblum.
Here.
Secretary Cushing Adams.
Here.
Director Jackson.
Here.
Is there any public input before we start the meeting? Okay, we'll move on.
Shirley did the minutes of the last meeting, and she noticed that a lot of people were not identifying themselves or speaking up. So she asked that from this point forward, everybody make sure that they identify themselves and speak up. So it makes life easier when we're doing the minutes, okay?
And speaking of minutes, would you like to approve the minutes?
I'd like to make a motion to amend the minutes to the May 20th, 2015 meeting. To include the mention of the letter that was being sent to the delinquent accounts and the discussion of how and where, when those letters are sent. There's no mention of it in the minutes. I brought it to Steve's attention, and he suggested that we just, revise it here.
Well, we don't need a motion to amend them. I would say it'd be a motion to add that to the minutes and then approve them.
Okay. Motion to add that to the minutes and approve.
And what are you adding exactly?
That a letter was sent by the National Airport Authority to delinquent accounts, and the discussion, make note of the discussion that was had about notifying board members well in advance if the letter is being sent on their behalf.
And that was under the Treasurer's report.
Well, I guess before, I'd like to see it before I approve it. So, do you want to just amend it and we'll approve the minutes the next year?
Okay.
Any more discussion on that? Okay, we'll move on.
So, I'm looking to make a motion to approve the special meeting of the May 2015.
Yeah. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those for?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? And that carries. Thank you. Treasurer's report. Oh, before we go to the treasurer's report, we have someone here to make a presentation, David, on the logo. And we'd like to move it up because he has a commitment elsewhere and it's dark in here and we're ready to show it. The floor is yours, sir.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
These are the logos that we presented previously quite a while ago. We wanted you to see them one more time.
So you've seen these, some of you have seen them before, some of them have seen them. There's been a lot of discussion about how to market the airport, how to present it, and how to tie it in with the city as well. The city has an initiative about 2 or 3 years ago to go out and rebrand itself, and it did. And not the official logo for the city, but the public logo, the public branding for the city was redone. And these are the upper left-hand corner is where the city ended up. The logo and the tagline. The Chamber of Commerce and the Public Library and the school system. I don't have a copy of the schools up here. but it was all very similar. The Nashua School District also adopted the logo in a similar fashion, similar colors, similar presentation, so that it's all tied in with the city. And so the thought was to get something fresh, get something new, something that we can put out there, and then something that still, you know, reminds people that we're part of the city, we're our municipal airport. Well, sometimes I think they probably don't want to admit that right now, but that's a whole other discussion. So the first thing we came up with is a kind of a presentation of a couple of airplanes flying across the air with some clouds, wind, whatever. And yeah, that's one kind of, I prefer a little more color. So we kind of decided on kind of a yellow, kind of a gradient kind of thing. And then the next one is this one here, which seemed to, pardon the pun, fly pretty well with a lot of people. So what we're proposing, what I'm proposing, with the consensus of a lot of people, is that the Airport Authority adopt this as currently as a way of presenting the airport in a more contemporary, more to help with its marketing materials, to help with other things that it wants to do, with a brand that ties into the city. So, you know, those were the three together, and then, you know, back to this one. So, I guess that's the one that was the consensus.
That was the general consensus that we showed around.
Many people, including board members and participants at the airport.
And a show of hands tonight, if anybody has any, if you have any discussion or opinions, or if you like it, don't like it,
My first impression on any of them would be that it's three letters come to mind, M-E-A. When I look at it, I think of it as Melba Toast or Grits or anything like that. There's no flavor to it, there's no character. I was hoping that we could get together with somebody that could actually, that had some artistic ability, where we could infuse the ideas with those that actually have that ability versus this. I'd like the logo that represents us to have a little bit more distinction, and I still have trouble trying to understand the reasoning behind or the benefit thereof of us being tied in with the city as far as any benefit to us versus making us actually distinct from the city.
I think we're distinct, but we are part of the city, and you know, our whole community.
It's too close to theirs, is my point. You know, we need to be completely distinct as far as our own, the way it appears.
Totally different.
We are different.
Does anybody else have a comment for or against or different? Farrell?
Well, I'll speak up. So Farrell Woods, for the record. I happen to like the concept in the lower right corner there. Yeah, there we go. I happen to like that one of the three shown. I think it's got some style. I'm going to respectfully disagree with Steve. You know, I think it's got some style. Tying in with the city personally, for what it's worth, I think that's a good idea. You know, we are part of the city, and you know, I would support that one. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I would I'd echo Farrell's remarks about the logo in the lower right. I like the ones you've got displayed. I like that one the most. I like the airplanes with the upsuit. And I think they call that a swish in marketing. And that's kind of a nice feature they have. I think the three aircraft is being led by a jet, which is kind of nice. That maybe sort of indicates the path to the future. Maybe metaphorically. I like the big one. Steve, on the issue of the connection with the city, there might be some real distinct advantages to having some, you know, maybe below the surface kind of similar logo. I would think that, as Farrell indicated, we actually are part of the city. We're on city land. We have the Airport Authority rights of the city. But I think there are some significant advantages. in the long run, the relationship between the airport and the city is ultimately about a partnership between the two entities. And both need to be really successful for the other to survive and prosper. And the future, may, the time may come in the future, we're looking to the city for help in projects either directly, indirectly, what have you. And I think having a tie-in, I think we've got a good relationship with the city in the past. And I think maybe a little tie-in, maybe really to our advantage, as well as the city.
If I could just throw something out about the tie with the city. City is at a point, you know, it's kind of electing a new mayor. The city has done a number of things recently that is very good for the city. I think from an economic development perspective, I think it's gone out and it's had these tours for business people and developers. And I think there's been a lot of other action or activity at the city level with quote, marketing or selling the city. And the troublesome part of that is that nowhere in those documents is the airport. Okay, so I think if anything, from a marketing perspective, from a getting out and selling the airport perspective, I think if anything we can do to get the city to notice us is a good thing. So.
Yeah, I'd like to just briefly follow up. Shane McLaughlin for the record. Thank you, Shirley. Dave, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think in the past, sometimes there is a tendency for the city to forget, I don't want to say forget to hear, but a lack of tie-in. And we can really be a significant advantage and benefit to the city, I think, in terms of generating business, economic development, and so forth. If the city feels very comfortable about including us in their conversation when it comes to business and other matters.
Yes.
United, for the record, this is sort of a technical question. How does that green or yellow or whatever color it is photocopy on a black and white copy machine?
You can still see it.
Does it?
Obviously, it's not color, but you can get
different
gradients.
But it will come. It will come through.
Yes, it will. Yeah, you won't see three planes over a blank space. The yellow is the only other one. It's the one that it's a lighter gray and a green one, a little bit different, medium gray.
Okay, let's hear some comments from the board, and I'll go first. I was just going to be out there. I like the one in the far right the best. And I almost think there was another one that I liked better. But I don't think it's complete. Take a look at the Nashua and the Chamber of Commerce. Chamber of Commerce could have ended with a C, but they put the swirl in there, and that ties it directly right into the Nashua emblem. The National Public Library didn't even follow any of the, I see the Nashua as a globe of Earth, looks environmentally friendly to me, looks friendly. The Nashua Library just went with building blocks, and other than the color, there's nothing similar. I'd like for our emblem to be more like the Chamber of Commerce, following the characteristics of the Nashua emblem, than doing what the public library did and just throw our emblem out there and make it the same color. I think it'd be great if the swoops were looking just like the swoopy line in the Nashua and the Chamber of Commerce image. But then you'd have to dive in left and dive in right. So, that's my comment. I like it. I like the colors. I think the appearance is great, but I just think it's incomplete to make it tie in fully with the Nashua emblem. Yes, sir.
Well, David, I'd like to thank you for the effort that you've done here on behalf of the airport. However, I'm disappointed that somehow this has bypassed the marketing effort that we have in place. And as you know, we have a group that's working hard to try and identify how we want to market and position this particular airport. And none of this has come through that process. So I'm a little disappointed in that, for one thing. Secondly, in as much as we really haven't completed that, I would like to wait, or at least I've asked you in the past if you would wait with these until we have at least completed our the entire process, or at least come up with a what we believe will be the overall marketing picture for this airport. And I can't say when that's going to happen. I can't argue about the future when that's going to happen. But in as much as if you were to adopt this now, what effect would it have if you 6 months from now or 8 months from now change it again to represent something else that we believe that is perhaps more indicative of who we think we are? So,
do you have any ideas on that line yet, Gordon?
No, I don't, because it's too early. I mean, if you follow the marketing plans that we've been trying to, even the one that's laid out by the FAA, which is our guide, you know, these kind of, they call them koshkis, the giveaways, the marketing stuff, that sort of comes at the end of the process when you try to create something that represents you. But you have to first define who you are. Now, we know we're an airport. I mean, that's a no-brainer. You know, I've suggested before that we could look at other things, and I jokingly said, because we're a reliever airport, I made some mention of some things, but just to give you an idea that you can think outside the box, because we all know that we're an airport, but we're trying to attract people who don't know who we are, that don't know about us. And as I think as Steve pointed out, what does that tell us about Nashua Airport? It's an airport. We know that. So, you know, I would just ask you to please, let's hold off on this. Let's bring it up again when that time comes that we feel we're at that particular point. And again, I appreciate it, but I really would hope that we could finally finish this process that we've started here as a marketing group and complete it, and then say, okay, these are logos. Let's see if we can get the logo to go along with the identity or the brand, so to speak.
Thank you.
Dick Machigan, for the record. I like the logo. I would have recommended that if it says Blair Field, I'd like to see that probably in orange. It might stand out a little bit better. I like the fact that the aircraft are climbing. They're going up. You know, it's progress. It's psychological. I do like it. And not as an argument against Gordon, but I'm only addressing the logo. That's my favorite.
I think we've been waiting a long, long time already, and I think we need to do something now. And we can always do something now, and when the time comes, if the time comes, you know, make changes. But, you know, things have been stuck for a long time.
Sandy, we just started in January. I don't think that's pretty long.
Yeah, I'd actually like to see you adopt one that is similar to the city logo. I think the tie-in needs to be there, and I think as we go through some of our more economic development, I think the city is going to want to tie the airport to the city because it is a very useful resource for industry that might be interested in coming here. So I would want to see you pick a logo that's similar to the ones we've got. I do want to make one technical comment on the one in the lower right. Mm-hmm. The colors in the Nashua logo, if you listen to the explanation, are the yellow is the dawn of a new day, kind of. The two blue colors are the two rivers that we're at the confluence of, and the green is the green of New Hampshire. So I would reverse the yellow and the green swishes so that the ground is on the bottom and the sky is on the top.
Okay.
Those are good comments, and I'm really, really, really happy to hear that the city needs to be tying in this airport. Because today, I personally just been kind of watching things, and I haven't seen a lot of evidence of that, that they even over here. Let me invite them. And I'm not speaking for the people here, obviously.
Yeah, if I could, we haven't done a lot of work on that. And you'll note that a week ago or 2 weeks ago, we had the development forum where, for the first time ever, we invited people in to look at some of the industrial properties
sure.
that are available.
That's excellent.
And I think, you know, we want to look at that. This is a tremendous resource for that economic development, and I think we want to capitalize on that.
Thank you, sir.
Coming back, Vic.
It's warm off here.
Did you want to make a comment?
No, everything's already been said, so.
Okay.
No comment.
So, moving on, treasurer's report.
In your packet is the May 31st, 2015 financial statements, and I will ask you to turn to page 8, which is the comparison of actual to budget. For the month of May, we have a total income of an excess over budget of $1,800, primarily from land lease income. And our operating expenses are in all categories listed, except for the general liability policy is under budget. The general liability policy is budgeted for a prior month, so the year-to-date is pretty much on target. So for the month ending May 31st, we have a surplus of $4,903. A good portion of that was in the savings in personnel costs and related benefits in the shuffling of the office. And for the year-to-date, we have a shortfall of just over $10,000. We had budgeted a shortfall of $45,000 at this point. That's a variance to the good of $35,343. With the 1 month left of the year, I estimate we will come in somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 as a shortfall. We might even break even. We did get a check in June of $7,800 for the state registration fees, which was far less than the $18,000 that we had budgeted. But I think the watching the costs on the expense side will hopefully make up a lot of that.
$7,800 for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. We need some new planes out there.
So as a result, I would like to make a motion to accept the May 31st financial statements as presented pending audit.
Is there a second?
Second.
The discussion. Any discussion?
Yes, I'm glad you have extra money. Yeah. Now I'd like to ask for some of that extra money.
We can do that, but let's address the motion. We want it not part of what the motion is. It is to approve the financial statements for the May. Okay. Any discussion on that? Okay, so all those for?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion carries.
I did want to also report to the board that we met with the budget committee of the city and presented our budget request. There was no request for operating funds for next year requested. What was requested from the city was $22,500, representing 5% of the capital improvement project for asphalt paving for fiscal year 16. And we had quite a lengthy discussion on the airport in general, and the request was well received. Alderman Schoenemann was there, and I don't know if you want to add to that, but
I can add that the budget came out of committee about a week ago. Okay. And that money is still there, and I fully expect that when the budget is approved by the Board of Aldermen, you know, it has to go through that process yet. The full board is going to deal with it on the 24th, but I fully expect that money is still there.
Good. That puts, you know, that's one of those things that we're trying to work out with the city, is that we're trying to get the airport and the city working together. And I think there really was a lot of support for the city providing $22,500 in the upcoming budget, which is the exact amount, and it's kind of your tag for the capital improvement program next year for the asphalt replacement for the ramp area. Okay, so that's pretty much a shoo-in. So it all goes in the logo and everything else. We just work to be have mutual interest and become more part of the city, so everybody knows we're here, and hopefully have more and more events at the airport.
There was one takeaway I had at that meeting, and that is that going forward, the city is willing to entertain requests for participating in capital improvements of the airport, the operating side of the Airport Authority. They were not particularly interested in funding. They have our capital improvement request for the next 6 years going forward, and we expect to make the presentation annually to them.
Okay, great. Before we move on, do you have any other treasury items that we have?
I could either do it under Treasurer's Report or other business. And that is, typically at this meeting we approve a budget.
Yes.
And due to the chair of the office, we're not at we can present the budget. We expect to be able to present the budget to the board at the next board meeting. And as a result, I would request of the board to have a continuing resolution so that we can continue to pay bills going forward until we adopt the budget.
Would you like to make that motion?
Yes. I'd like to make a motion to have a continuing resolution of the current budget effective July 1st, 2015. Until a formal budget is adopted.
I'll second that motion.
And discussion, maybe we should amend that to say it adopted at the next board meeting. Add that statement.
Sure.
But I don't want it to be hanging out there for whatever we decide to adopt the budget.
I accept your amendment.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those for?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, carries.
Thank you.
And Sandy, you have something tied in with the budget, so let's bring it up in.
We do need to market the airport. He's working hard on that. He's got a lot of stuff in the works. In the meantime, we've had a lot of activities going on at the airport, and I wanted the community to know. So I don't know how many of you have seen these things in the paper. I know a lot of people have. Last Sunday at my restaurant, I was yelling and screaming a lot. It was overwhelmingly busy. People had seen in the paper. The first one was a did you know that Nashua has an airport, and it listed facts about the airport. And then on the bottom it has the Young Eagles. And that was in the children's section because, you know, it was for children. I left copies over there, too. This is also on the website, and I intend to put this in other newspapers and on the little TV stations and talk about it. We've already been working with that. The other one, the second week, was, did you know that Nashua Airport has many businesses open to the public? And then it listed all of our businesses. I went around and asked each business what they'd like to, just a little one-liner, what they'd like people to know. So that came out along with the commemorative Air Force, which is coming this weekend. A lot of people thought, I know people think the newspaper is becoming obsolete. It's not obsolete yet. It's also on their website. This week coming up, and these are all in the Sunday newspapers. So this week coming up is our economic impact. So instead of did you know, it says, are you aware of the economic impact that Nashua Airport has on our community? And it lists pretty much the summary from the economic impact study, so that the community is aware of, you know, the jobs we create and what we have here, different things going on. And then it has a direct poker run. And even though this poker run is really for pilots, it's a great day for people to come to the airport and watch people fly. And it's a fundraiser. It's a fundraiser for Homes for Our Troops. Ronnie Emond sponsors this every year. I do a free cookout, ice cream for everybody. And people, the money that people pay to do the poker run, there's lots of prizes, every both FBOs, everybody gives a prize. So the money raised goes to Homes for Our Troops. So when I did this marketing, it's not out yet, but on Sunday when that comes out, it says, you know, please stop by the Nashua Airport, and if you make a donation to Homes for Our Troops, you get a free ice cream at Midfield Cafe. So that'll be the third one. And he's been giving us, the second one was on the second page of the paper, so I thought that was a great location. So he's been giving us, you know, good spots. So there's also, Gordon also put together this great brochure when we did the legislative tour. And that was really nice. That was fun and informative, and I really want to push hard to do another one and get more people here so they're aware. This is a community guide. The deadline to get in this is in July, and it's all about everything happening in our community. These go to the Chamber of Commerce and City Hall and all kinds of rest areas, and they go everywhere. It's a really great thing, and I'd like to put something about the newspaper in here, I mean about the airport in here. So little by little, just doing small things at a time, I think we're raising awareness. And the first bit of money, we had our raffle that we did. So I paid for the first ad with that. The second ad I paid for with the money I donated from the last time when we were going to do a logo revision 2 years ago. So now, I can keep paying for it myself. I don't mind. I think it's an important thing. However, I think we need to put some money aside from our budget here because we do need to promote the airport. So, you know, the spots I was thinking we could get the money from. Let's see. The board member annual stipend, there's no money there anyway, but none of us take it. Educational assistance, I don't believe we'll be paying for that anymore, correct? That's not offered to any of our employees now. So that will be a saving. Okay? So I think that money can be put aside for advertising. I don't know what this
educational assistance is. It's a little bit more than that. It's certification. It's you know, you can't not improve your knowledge and continuing the search of knowledge and improving yourself. And I think it's going away. But instead of, why don't you just make it known what you need for a budget instead of going through and trying to squeeze things out of other areas right now. Just identify how much are you recommending?
How much? Oh, I can recommend whatever.
Mike still needs to do his magic and put it all together.
Okay. What I would suggest is you come up with an estimate of a figure and you build it into the budget And when we look at the budget, we'll see where we stand and if we can afford what you're requesting.
Okay. So I would request, I would like to request $1,000 a month, and I know that's a lot of money. But that's what I would like to request, so that we can continue to do these things, and not just, you know, each year in the chamber, but for the future.
But you know, also you're advertising for the businesses of the airport. So what I would suggest is that if we do allocate for advertising for the airport, that is matching funds.
That would be
okay.
If I may, there was also a nice ad in the Hippo this last edition, and I forget, it was the Daniel Webster College and one of the
Pilgrim Aviation. Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
And so I would, as a follow line to what Dennis said, I think we would be better if we could look for sponsors that would want to piggyback on and have them fund these sorts of ads or events that we're doing here, but they're also getting the benefit of that.
And my point with that is for Young Eagles, the FBOs gave discounts on fuel. I gave free food to all the pilots, free ice cream to all the kids. For our raffle before, for the first amount of money, the businesses all donated prizes. So I think working together is great.
Yeah, I think there should be a combination that
right.
We should not just.
So $1,000 a month from us and $1,000 a month from.
But don't ask for. Why don't you tell us what it costs and make a recommendation? Well, you made your recommendation $1,000 a month, but
yeah.
In order for us to evaluate that,
aren't you? You're sort of doing a public relations effort here because this is. I mean, you're advertising to the greater national community, and is that where we want to direct most of our effort in promotion?
It won't just be the community. We all, you know, there's the flying public. I have a lot of people that come to my restaurant that I give poker on flyers to and all different things. So,
right.
So it's a whole. It's everybody. It's not just the.
I understand, community. But I think I appreciate what you're doing. I think it's great, but maybe a little bit more thought put into the process and where you're seeing this advertising dollars go and who you're trying to reach with and why.
Well,
exactly. Why don't you list what it's cost so far? You know, what's it taking to get that size of advertisement in Telegraph versus the community guide versus pamphlet? Put together a cost summary. And then, you know, what I'd like to see is instead of just say, okay, $1,000 a month, I'd like to say, well, our intent is to put out 6 advertisements in the Telegraph a year, a couple pages in the community guide a year, blah, 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 build it, and then substantiate the number, and that would be something that we can improve.
The problem I have with that is you never know what you're going to have. We don't know what's going to come in, or how much this is going to cost.
But if you have something come in, then you have to take it away from the Telegraph or something. But to ask for what you're asking for is $12,000. But show us where it's going.
We don't know exactly where it'll be going.
And you're not
going
to get it.
It's going to be going to great causes.
Okay.
Right,
I'm glad.
We have other
requirements
the,
and that we do
the,
know where it's going.
The quarter page ads that I did right now, that those are right there, $365 for that quarter page ad. And I've done. It'll be 4 in a month's time.
Right. So just kind of sum it up on a what she.
So it can't be exact.
So we
it
can
won't
see
be
it.
Exact. It'll be. You know, I'm telling you what what I would like. And
maybe a budget is only as good as what the information you know at that time. So what I would suggest is prepare a summary, a guesstimate of what you expect to happen in the next year.
Okay. That's good.
And that way everybody can see it and go through each of the year
okay.
And answer everybody's questions. So, did you have anything else?
The local TV station wants to talk to all of the local businesses one-on-one and have everybody.
Is this about money, though?
Advertising.
No, we're talking about budget money.
Okay,
good.
That's part of the budget.
Communications, you're still on.
All right, so we only have one letter, and it's about a sign. I'll just find it now. That's my agenda. So NA15-012, a sign request from Hangar Zero. Just a letter that they sent in to Hangar Sign Advertising, Hangar Space, the lease.
Okay, and it's reported. The reports. Tower report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The month of May, we actually had an increase in operations over the previous year, which was the first increase of the year, and 371 operations. So maybe the weather's getting better. Jet operations were slightly higher than average for the month.
So that this month's May is actually higher than last year's?
Correct.
May?
Yeah.
Now that the weather's evened out, maybe we'll see a continuing trend.
Hopefully.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
What was last year's number?
For the month of May?
5727. So it's 5727 for last year?
Yeah.
And so we're 371 higher?
Correct,
yes.
6098.
So we're 371 higher, and last month we were 341 lower. So the last 2 months kind of evened out to last year. So it kind of takes out the
square.
But still, overall, we're about 2,000 lower, which is
about 2,400 lower.
It's about less than 10% though. Maybe 5% lower. I don't see a percentage on here that comes out, but okay, moving on. Any other comments? Airport managers report?
You skipped the, yes. Wildlife activity on the airport has been moderate with no reported strikes. We've seen deer, coyote, foxes, and turkeys have been spotted airside and landside, and geese as well. 2015 Touch a Truck event planning is ongoing. The event is scheduled for August 15th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Of course, the Perimeter Air Force will be here the weekend of June 19 through 21. They were scheduled to come in tomorrow, but they've had some weather and crew issues, so they'll be here mid-morning on Friday, instead of tomorrow, unfortunately. They'll be bringing the world's only flying B-29 and a C-45. We'll be hosting our first Nashua Airport movie night on August 14th at dusk. We'll be screening the Disney movie Planes, Fire, and Rescue, and planning for that is ongoing. And our new office manager is Ms. Mary Beth Merritt. Ms. Merritt brings a variety of experience in accounting and aviation. She has an MBA, and she's working on her degree in aviation management at Danny Webster here. So, welcome.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
Hey, Daddy, so she's going to be going after your job.
So. I'm worried.
That might have crossed his mind.
Welcome, Mary Beth.
Thank you very much.
That's all I have, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Steve, when did they tell you they're not coming until Friday?
Yesterday.
Yesterday?
And are we planning some free advertising with, you know, we invited people like the Telegraph and the radio stations? And
it's been in the newspaper. There's flyers up all over town. It's on our website, our Facebook page.
But they don't know it's coming in late now.
It's on our website and our Facebook page that it's delayed. But
they updated their website too.
They did.
Yeah, they did.
Got a link to it. You go to their, like, you go to Facebook page.
What's the weather forecast?
It looks good, except for Sunday's a little iffy. Scattered showers, I think.
This Saturday will be a great day.
Yeah.
I hope to see everybody there. And for the movie, Mosquito Night. 2014 is pretty dry, so it's probably going to be okay.
The more people we have, the less chance you'll get bit.
Yes. Okay, I don't want me to forget the airport engineer. How can I?
Good evening. Success. We finally got amendment approval by the Governing Council on our first two that have been almost 3 years to get them moving on. So we'll get those two closed out in the very near future. On the wildlife hazard assessment, that is completed. The project is just in the closeout process right now. Hopefully by next month, whenever you get into some of the governmental agencies, it takes a little bit longer to get everything signed off. The installation of the wildlife fence and gates, that was majority of the work is done. I think they've got it just about all done. They still have that section that they're going to have to do down by the two houses, but for the most part, I know Danny and Chris were down today measuring the length of exactly how many feet there were on the fence where it runs from Deerwood Drive down to the car wash. I did it on Google Earth, and I said that's going to be 79.82, and I want to see how close I am. So that should be closed out. They're going to be a final inspection by New Hampshire DOT on the 22nd. I don't anticipate anything is going to slow that down. I think that will be a good time. The site walk by the National Conservation Commission was conducted on June 10th, and they stated they had no issue with the work that was performed in and around the wetlands. So that was good.
Is there any money left on this program?
I don't know. I have to check with Eric. But I think this part, most of this came out of money that was left over from the runway project. So we actually.
I guess I'd keep it tied in with the fence. I'm just thinking the software we use to manage the timing and the authorization of the cars, and I haven't seen that side of things yet. No. I know I sit there and I wait forever for the gates to close.
Yeah.
That should be tweaked so that it's so easy for us to go right in there and change it from 45 to 30 seconds to 20 to flip it, just go right in the system and do it. And I don't know why we can't do that.
The project included upgrading all of the hardware boards that control access.
Yeah.
It also included replacing all of the gate motors. So all of the new gates, as of now, they stay open for 5 seconds, and then they close. I think the gate you usually use, which is by our office, wasn't touched by the project, mm-hmm. and there's no way to control the time on that gate.
Well, I guess
it stays open.
What I'm saying is that this project has money left over, then let's use it for the things we weren't using it for.
Okay.
To add something to our current gate. Okay.
I know on the guillotine gate out there behind the maintenance facility, I talked to Ron ever since we put it in and tried to see if there wasn't something we could do, and he kept telling me why we couldn't do it, why we couldn't make it come down faster. And I guess I naturally accepted it after a while.
Yeah. Okay.
But it is you do wait a while. I mean, I went through it tonight. It's got to be, about 22 seconds before it starts down? Yeah. And, as you're sitting there waiting, it does seem like a long time.
I will check with Eric and
see if see what we have left over, and then we'll, direct that money into whatever project you want.
As much as we harp about security and gates, should be doing our side of it by making it convenient and easy and not a hardship.
Okay,
yes, sir.
Okay, question for Roy. So, again, this month I'm going to ask a question. There's still work to be done at the gate by Building 13.
That's correct.
When is that going to be completed?
I don't know. Do you?
I don't know.
They told me that they were still waiting on, I think, is it a card reader or something like that?
There needs to be a card reader installed, and there needs to be a ground loop installed on the air side.
Okay.
There's a ground loop on both sides. They need a card reader and a access control panel to be installed.
Oh, so if I drive up to that now, I can get out from the airside?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, I'll test that.
Yeah.
But I don't know exactly when it's going to be in. I don't know where it's. I'm not sure when it was ordered and exactly when it'll be in. But as soon as we can get it in, of course.
Apologies to Shirley Farrell Woods for the record.
Okay.
Thank you, Carol. I have a quick question. The driving on the airport by the fence company, it was brought to our attention that after the incident with the fence company and everything that happened, you're still not following all the procedures. Have you talked to them?
Which procedures are they not following?
Well, they're driving probably where they shouldn't be without an escort, no lights, no anything. Has somebody talked to them about paying attention to that and doing the right thing?
I've talked to them about that, but every time I see them driving out there, they have amber flashing lights on.
Okay. Did you get that video?
I'm not sure which video you're referring to.
There was a video of them driving and not following procedures. And people were upset.
Which procedures weren't they following?
Well, are they... The paperwork that you gave them, right? Gail gave them the paperwork for the procedures to follow on the airport?
Yes, yeah.
So, are they supposed to have lights?
If they're operating on our movement area, they are supposed to have lights, but they're not operating on our movement area.
So that's not the movement area where they were?
No.
Nope. At all?
Nope.
On the ramp, on the taxi, nothing like that?
No.
From what I saw, I think they should probably be a more diligent, more
careful. Yeah, and I talked to them about that.
And the other thing is the gates. I know, the boxes, Steve, the flight cards, the passes, stuff like that. You don't have any idea when that's going to be fixed?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
You know, the panel, Farrell said, the panel that was supposed to be installed and still isn't, we don't have any timeline on that?
I don't know, no. They had some difficulties with getting the hardware from a local distributor. That's all I know. I don't know.
And that's not going to cost us any more money, right? Was that their mistake or our mistake?
It's all part of the project. It doesn't cost us anything.
Okay. But it's not coming out of that money that was put aside? Or it is?
I get
part of the project, so it's funded.
Fixing the mistake, that's also funded, right?
Yeah.
Just part of the project, so it's...
But if that money...
We're not paying any more.
But is that more money that can come back to us?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess my point is that we want to make sure that if we have funds left, that we fix some of the little things that weren't addressed in the project.
Okay. But the things that were addressed that were done wrong,
they won't be accepted. If the job is accepted and they're wrong, then we own it. But if we do our job and punch list and identify the items for correction, then no.
Okay. All right.
Okay, moving on to...
May I ask a question about...
Yes.
Please, thank you very
Bench.
Much. I wasn't at all the last meeting, so this was discussed before. There was some talk before about getting rid of the barbed wire down by Sharon Ave. Is that still a possibility? Is that not a possibility?
The overall, if we want to pay for the barbed wire and reimburse the FAA for installing it, then we can remove it.
How much is that? What's the value on that? Do we have any idea?
Gee.
I have no idea.
Don't know.
I don't know.
That's still something that we all are hashing out. Some people feel differently about it than others, so something that we have to research and find out. And right now, budget money, we didn't push it yet.
If somebody snuck down there and removed it, I wouldn't notice.
Would the FAA notice?
I don't.
Absolutely.
Sure. I'll delete that. I guess the bottom line is that we can't ask for funding to remove that. It's something that we just have to decide to do on our own. And you know what? I don't think they'd object too much, but that's the official policy. So we kind of have to work it behind scenes and see if there's something we can do here. And Roy, could you put that down as an action item to just kind of see if you can inquire
sure
informally? And if we get a bunch of, if we get half a dozen volunteers from the airport for free labor, and if we make it happen, would there be an objection to it?
Okay. I don't know what the objection is myself. I mean, to me, I'd rather have the barbed wire down there to prevent animals. We do have them down there on occasion, and also it sends a message out to some of the younger folk who might try to jump the fence if there wasn't any barbed wire down there. A lot of people park down in that area, and there's an awful lot of activity down there. I don't necessarily think the barbed wire is a bad idea myself.
And the fence is shorter, isn't it?
No, this
is as high as the new fence?
It's 8 foot, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'll certainly check on it and see what the FAA would say about it.
How many years has that barbed wire been there?
What was the question?
How many years
has that barbed wire been on that?
More than 25.
Yeah. More than that? No. I don't think it's had an adverse or impact.
That fence has been there. That fence was there when I came here 25 years ago.
Yeah.
With the barbed wire?
Yeah, come on, Pete.
Yes.
It's just an image.
Yes.
Thing for the airport. That's all. I don't know if anyone would climb that fence. I understand the necessity to keep someone out if someone's going to be climbing a fence. We don't want people out there. Most of the man gates, to the best of my knowledge, aren't locked. So if someone really wanted to get in, they could just go down and open the gate. I hope someone wouldn't climb over. That would be certainly dangerous. So, but if there's some way to do it without losing real protection, because we don't want to lose real protection, but if we're not losing or gaining real protection from it, then from an image standpoint, I think that's my personal thought.
I think to answer the question, we need two things. One, would they object if we removed it? Two, if they do object, what's its value and what do we own? If it's been there for 25 years, then it has no value, in my opinion, and it's already served its useful life because we're only responsible for FAA projects for 20 years. So if we get half a dozen volunteers and remove it, it'd be great. And as far as wildlife jumping it or humans jumping it, we're just talking about the fence that's visible to us. It's in front of our community, between us and the community, and that's all, okay? We're not going in the woods or anywhere else where we need that barbed wire. And yes, there's deer over there, but I think that's the most minimal impact we have.
Okay.
That's my personal opinion. So we'll push that a little bit.
Okay.
Answers. Want to move on to the other project, please?
Yeah, the property acquisition, number 5. That's all bought, paid for. We're waiting on funding to come in under the next project, the SBG 12-15-15 for the Alcorn. That, once we get that money in, then we'll have the funds to go ahead and do the demo. And Eric talked to Carol today and asked her when she thought the money would be available, and she didn't have an exact date. So,
well, where does it stay right now? For the governor's council, or is it waiting for priority?
Waiting for the FAA to release money. Okay. So that she, to the block grant state, so she can release it. I think they've only got one grant out right now. Isn't that what she said the other day during the meeting?
I don't remember.
Yeah. So.
So that typically happens by now, doesn't it? Are they late?
No, they're August. A little bit late this year.
Isn't it usually August?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, hopefully that'll be coming around shortly. And that's all I have.
Thank you. We're almost an hour into it. We haven't even gotten to old business, new business, so let's just kind of speed things up a little bit. We don't want to be all night, so I'm going to be pushing a little bit. Committee, the S&P committee. Do we have a committee representative for the S&P? And I'll speak up.
Greg's here.
We have a few.
You have a committee member. You want to nominate somebody to sum it up?
Sure. Okay. Farrell Woods for the record. So I believe that on Monday we had our last regular S&P committee meeting. I believe we got through all the items in the S&P. We got through the memorandum that, Chairman Stevens provided to us in January. And I think that the action items going forward are going to be that the a draft S&P with our recommended changes is going to be constructed and circulated among the S&P committee members. And you know, Chairman Holland is going to pull the committee members individually, perhaps by email, for an up-down vote. And you know, presuming that, we don't find any problems with those changes and approve it, we should be able to present that to the board. I can't speak for Rob, but maybe next month. Don't hold him to that on my behalf. But we've made progress. I think we're just we're just about done.
His goal is to get it submitted by next month. I talked to Rob, and the committee has reviewed the entire S&P. So really, all they're doing is going to their final edit, doing a draft edit, letting the committee members look at it so it can be their final proposal to us. So we're just pretty much wrapping it up and making sure that the written version of all the changes agrees to what everybody talked about. And it should be pretty much summed up in a minute. So congratulations to the S&P committee for getting this far and getting through it. And we look forward to seeing it next month, I hope. And all your efforts are really appreciated, and the time you spent in doing this. It's been since December. So a couple of meetings a month since December. That's a lot of time and input. Anything else on the S&P committee? Moving on, marketing committee. Gordon.
Very quickly, we are now ready to launch the pilots and owners survey. It's going up on SurveyMonkey. We're going to do a quick media blitz between now, or actually not, starting the first of the month. We're going to insert notifications in all the invoices going out from NAA, and we'll do a local media blitz around the airport, letting people know that this thing is available to them, and anything. We'll also have copies laying about, so anybody wants to submit one manually, we'll be able to enter that manually into SurveyMonkey, and we hope we will have that wrapped up in a month or two, maybe get where we are with that and the results from it. Working on a business analysis or community analysis that we want to do next. One of the issues I'm having is trying to schedule meetings, even through my own difficulties in scheduling, but I've found that trying to poll people as to when we meet is difficult. So I am just going to, I think, beginning next month, just say it's the second Wednesday or the second Thursday of every month and let it go at that and see how we do. And that's where we stand right now.
I have a recommendation on your committee thing. What is it the S&P committee was using that meeting
Doodle or something like that?
Yeah, no, I'm doing that, quite frankly, okay. And I get maybe 20% response. And so I email, and I get, it's... So I'm just going to say every Wednesday or Thursday, I haven't decided yet. Flip a coin. And
that's something consistent. Does that work?
Yeah, that's...
That works for S&P.
Yeah, otherwise it's hit and miss with people, and it's too hard to do. So I'm done.
Okay. Thank you. Old business, the CIC, CIP, and budget to city. I think, Mike, you've already summed that up.
I did.
We'll move on. Are there any questions concerning that? Underground fuel farm replacement. I think that Dick, you have a motion.
I do.
Yes, you do.
You want to make it?
You didn't know?
No, I don't. Go ahead.
Okay. I move that the board authorize Dick Machigan and Dennis Stevens to represent them in negotiating the above ground storage tank sale to interested parties. And the reason, and that's the end of the motion. The reason I'm bringing this up now is it's not really related to the underground fuel farm, but we don't have it on the agenda. We've talked about divesting, getting rid of the, replacing the underground fuel farm and buying new ASTs, but we've kind of wrapped in there the divesting of the above ground ASTs. But we believe that there's new interest in purchasing the ASTs, and we'd like to explore that.
What makes you believe there's new interest?
I'll second the motion for discussion purposes.
Thank you.
What makes you think there's new interest?
We have had a recent meeting with interested parties.
Okay. Is there a proposal forward yet?
No. So the board, we took this off the table 2 months ago, and so there's pretty much it's off the table. We haven't moved anywhere any further other than identifying that there's interest in acquiring the above ground storage tanks.
Okay. Well, I'd like to see a proposal by the interested parties.
That won't happen.
It won't happen?
Won't happen unless we're able to open. We're not receptive to receiving proposals until this board votes to accept that.
Okay.
And that's kind of what the motion was intended for.
I see no harm in authorizing you to negotiate, because eventually you have to come back to this board for the board to decide whether we accept the proposal or not.
Right.
Correct.
Exactly.
So the proposal can't come before the whole board? What the interested parties say to the board?
Excuse me, no, they're negotiating the proposal. And then the proposal.
Right. I guess the point is that it can be anybody. If you want to be on that group and negotiate the sale of the ASTs, I will gladly fall back and let you have my spot. But two board members need to represent the board so we can work between board meetings to bring this to fruition, okay? If we want to see results in the next couple of months. And we can't wait, we can't meet as a board with more than two people between meetings, and it's impractical to think that all the business is going to be conducted right here at a board meeting. So ideally two members who always meet together and not meet individually with people interested in the fuel tanks, kind of setting the parameters, coordinating with the other board members, let them know, getting a feel for what the potential proposals may be, and then present the board for a final vote. So that's the objective. So the question is if you would like to be part of that process. Dick and I have been doing it for the last 6 months with no results. So maybe it's time to change the team, okay? But we also have a lot of history in it too. Yes, do you have a question?
Yeah, Brian McCarthy for the record. I think the problem with that is that presupposes that there's only one proposal that would ever come back to the board, and that the number of interested parties is at exactly one. In that case, it's fine if the details of a proposal get negotiated, but in a case, and I have no idea what the current situation is with regard to the interest in the tanks, but if there are competing proposals, it would seem to me that the entire commission would, the authority would want to see those prior to picking which one they were going to negotiate the details of.
It's anticipated that the board will not sell it to an individual entity without opening and advertising it in a formal bid process. And that's probably the end result. Once we establish that there are interested parties and and that we may want to purchase them, and we might want to sell them or transfer ownership of them, then we need to work with the city and the purchasing manager to bid the tanks out and open it to the public. That, to me, would be the proper procedure. But I don't even want to do that unless we have interested parties and we have some sort of idea that we have an acceptable offer. But if I get one offer that we like and that the board likes, then bang, put out the bid and make it public. Don't make the offer public, but make the opportunity public. Yes.
So it sounds like you're proposing to get some proposals, basically, as opposed to choose somebody to negotiate a final deal with. Because once you know that there's some interest, then you want to put it out to the
right.
General.
Right.
So you want to determine if there's some interest.
Ideally, the only people we would be interested in selling the tanks, I think the only everybody in this room would agree, the only are users here at the airport, businesses or users here at the airport. So we'd be talking to the two FBOs about that, and primarily the FBO that currently has the tanks. And you know, there's no push to sell these, but we've talked about it for several years, and it's not. We're not maintaining them. We are not putting any maintenance into them. The operator is currently doing all that. The only thing we do is have a huge liability because we own them, and we collect rent. So we can easily take that rent collection and put a value to that and transfer ownership to it. So. And in the long run, we still would collect rent on the land, but of course that'd be a lot less. So if we want to move forward with transferring tanks out, then we should.
So you want to negotiate a proposal, but we don't have a proposal yet.
Yes. And you say negotiate a proposal, I don't want you to think that we're negotiating a final resolution proposal. What I want to do is negotiate something that two board members will come back to the full board and say, "Hey, we got a pretty good idea, pretty good deal here. At least one individual is interested. Maybe two, maybe three. Here are the terms, and let's put it up a bit." Otherwise, I don't dare want to touch it. I don't want to say out the bid. No reason to. But I think we can sit down and negotiate some terms first. Okay, any more discussion on that? Okay, we have a motion and a second to allow two board members, Stevens and Michigan, to negotiate for the transfer of the fuel, of the above ground fuel farm. All those for, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
The one opposed? Four ayes. It carries. Underground fuel farm demolition. I am working on that, and it's been on hold for the last 6 weeks, and I will tell you why it's been on hold. The state has a MTBE fund. It's a huge block of money that they have won in a court settlement with the major refiners. They don't have a lot of things to spend it on. It needs to be spent on items concerning MTBE remediation. And the state contacted us when it heard that we were taking our tanks out of the ground, and they said pretty much, if we don't have to prove it, we don't even have to state it, we just have to have an inkling of a feeling, suspicion, along with a little bit of you know, support to it, that those tanks have had MTBE in them any time in their history, and we will have them removed for free. Okay? That will save us $50,000. Actually, it's not quite free. We still have to pay for the closure report and a couple samples. So we'll probably have to pay $1,200 to $1,500. So our $50,000 is going down to $1,200 to $1,500. And I guess I need support. If there's any, you know, if anybody would like to come forward and help with their time to research it, there has been. Hey guys, do you want to comment? Okay, if there's been a rumor that they were experimenting with MTB and AF gas in the early 90s, maybe, and there is nothing to say that those tanks are used only for aviation, maybe fleet use or something. I don't know. Yes, sir.
One tank's a jet fuel tank.
There's a jet and there's an AF gas.
So in the last 45 minutes, the Google clue has yielded hints that MTBE was used as an anti-ice additive to jet fuel for up until about 8 years ago. Mm. Now,
thank you.
Now, no one, you know, all of the top-level information you get talks about Prist today, because that's what's used, and I'm not sure when Prist became in common use, maybe in the late 80s?
Yeah, what I can tell you about those tanks, though, is that they were used when they were put to ground here. So you have no history, which means you don't know. Maybe it has. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to be completely.
Before they're transported, I bet they're clean. Don't have a hard time saying that they potentially contaminated the site with MTBE.
Well, that's true.
I mean, you can test for MTBE. I don't know what the level of persistence of it is.
I don't think it would have been on the outside. I really don't want to do that, because then if we don't find it, then we lose whatever inkling we have for funding.
So the next place to go would be to talk to the suppliers, you know, Texaco, Avfuel, whatever, about the history of the formulation of their jet fuel.
Actually, according to the conversation I had with DES, the information you just gave me, Wes, is enough to get those tanks funded.
Okay.
Okay.
Do I get a cut?
Yeah. You get this project. If I scored you this guy's contract, if you I'd like you to help with putting together the information you just.
The oil company should be able to confirm or deny that was used as. But I did run across some historical reports, and I've scanned past them at this point, that said that it was used as an anti-icing additive.
They're not looking for excuses not to spend the money. They're looking for excuses to spend it, okay? Their major refinery, the major corporations have already given the state the money. Now we need to spend it, and if we have an excuse like that, then it's gonna hold. So if anybody else wants to do a little research on their own and get back to us, you know, feel free, okay? Get back to me and let me know if you find anything else. So meanwhile, hopefully we can package something up the next week and get it to we may have this funding, okay?
Maybe MTBE was a constituent of the asphalt on our ramp.
That might help in asphalt. Okay, thank you. Moving on. The NA logo revision, that completes old business.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
We have Mr. Keller here, who's come a long way to make a presentation tonight, and I wonder if we might be able to move his presentation up to the next item on the
agenda. Absolutely.
Well, if I may then, for the past several months, we've been exploring options to maximize the use of airport property. One of the options defined by the FAA in their April 17, 2012 report, how airports make money, and further refined under Airport Cooperative Research Program Report 108, Guidebook for energy facilities compatible with airports and airspace, is the implementation of solar energy. With the enactment of New Hampshire Senate Bill 98, establishing a net metering renewable energy facilities, establishing net metering renewable energy facilities are able to share the proceeds of surplus electrical generation. NAA has reached out to several NH solar developers to inquire as to the possibility of such an arrangement to be developed on NAA property. Although seemingly uninterested, none have responded with the determination and enthusiasm that Mr. Keller of New Hampshire Solar Garden has, who is here this evening to present a proposal to the NAA. Mr. Keller has 6 years' experience in the renewable energy field in New Hampshire, founded several green companies, including New Hampshire Solar Garden. And Andrew, welcome to Nashua Airport, and thank you for coming, and please proceed.
Great. Thank you. Thank you to the board for having me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I brought along just some sample information to share as kind of the basis of the presentation that I just wanted to hand out to everybody. I have some extras or somebody didn't get them.
Sure.
And I have some extras if anybody else in the audience would like to just understand what I have here. So thank you, Mr. Jenkins, for the introduction. So just a little extra background to what was shared. About a year and a half ago, the governor signed this law that was referenced in the introduction. And really what it means to our organization is that it allows us to build community solar projects. And community solar projects in their simplest form is that we find a central location that has great southern exposure. We connect the solar array to the actual electrical grid and the wires at the street. And then we share that power amongst other businesses, residents, towns, schools, anybody that's in the same utility service area, no matter if you're here or up in Berlin, you can all be a part of what we consider a community solar garden. That's what it is in the simplest format. What my company has done over the last couple of years is taking the leap of faith, because these rules are, even though they were signed into law about 2 years ago now, it took about a year for the state to get it, give us some rules to follow. So we took the leap of faith and went out there amongst the New Hampshire community, from some of the experience I've developed to other solar projects around the region, and we looked for recipients, landowners, entities that use a lot of power, and we started to put together a plan. And in the last couple of years, we've developed about 25 different projects around the state. Our state has been lagging desperately behind the solar industry. Massachusetts, Vermont are exploding. I mean, Massachusetts has installed 600 megawatts of solar, which may not mean a lot to you guys, but New Hampshire's installed 7 in twice the amount of time. We've been way behind. But that's neither here nor there. Our company has developed 25 megawatts that have been permitted and are starting construction this summer, again, in light of the rule that was just finalized about 4 months ago. So what we did is we wanted to come to your board asking for leasing your land. Some of the investigation that we uncovered with Mr. Jackson's help was that you've entered into a 3-year contract with a competitive supplier for your power, which was a great decision. You fixed a portion of your energy cost in the next 3 years. There's like one or two pieces of fine print in the rules. And one of them is you can't sign up with a competitive supplier like you did and be part of a community solar project, meaning you can't get your power from us and them. So the benefit to an organization like yours is you have land. And we can lease that land just like you would lease your land to anybody else and create a new income source over a long-term lease, which is what we do with a lot of our municipalities and schools and other private landowners. That, in essence, is a way to hedge against your electric bill even further. So what you saw in the simple overview there, which I'll highlight just really simply, is that I think currently the airport itself uses about $30,000 a year worth of, has a $30,000 a year electric bill. And that includes that fixed contract that you've entered into. The delivery charges from the utility.
You mentioned this fixed contract. I'm not familiar with it. We signed the contract with Eversource?
With Glacial Energy.
Glacial Energy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
We did.
It's 3 years and we can't back out of it?
I didn't know if it was 3 years.
It was 3 years. I don't know what the penalties might be for withdrawal.
How long ago how old is the contract?
6 months.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, respectfully, the rates are good. I mean, it's not a bad rate. You think, I mean, it was a wise decision. I mean, that's the volatility we've all seen in energy costs the last couple of years. It wasn't a bad decision. The one thing we don't have control over is the delivery charges, which those move around as well.
Right.
But regardless of that, you could take this $30,000 expense that you have, and our organization leases land for the size system that we would produce, which we'd like to build an array that's about a megawatt, which takes up about 4 to 5 acres in a footprint. And that we pay our landowners $13,000 a year for that footprint. And we have a slight escalation each year, so that incrementally goes up. So effectively, you're reducing your electric bill by 40% without having to enter into a long-term power contract with us, which again, we have many towns and municipalities that lease us their land and enter into a contract. You would get more benefit by doing that. But currently, until that 3-year contract is up or towards the tail end of it, the landlord and lease us the land. And then if at the end of 3 years there's an interest in allocating your all or a portion of your electric bills to the solar garden, you'd have the option to do that. But we knew that was a restriction. We didn't want to not come back to the board and say there isn't an option, because this is a very viable option. A lot of our landowners do that. They may not have a big energy use at their business or their towns or schools, so they just lease land as a way to...
What is the term?
20 years. So 2 5-year extensions.
Where would this 4 to 5 acres be?
So it was brought to my attention. There's a piece of land at the northwestern corner of the run line. I was able to go out and visit the site, because what it looks like from Google Earth may not be where it is in person. There was a gentleman in your facilities department that was good enough to share some specific information about the lay of that land. That's helpful for us to understand if it made sense. So one thing that always comes up is always a consideration with airports, and I know I'm sure you guys better than me have even heard more about it in the press, is glare issues and how do we deal with this. Again, the orientation of your runway goes in a different direction than the way the panels would be faced. So solar panels are meant to absorb light. So it's contrary to the usage of solar panels to displace light back out. What has happened, though, unfortunately in our backyard, the Manchester airport had an unfortunate situation where most of the issues with glare at airports is related to the glare to the traffic controllers, not necessarily the pilots. Because there's been studies that show that the amount of glare off of a panel is equivalent to less than snow, and it's similar to, you know, sheet glass water on a pond. And there's actually a study that's been done by the FAA that, or some of the supporting folks that support the information that the FAA has put out there. So, like a metal roof, I was coming into this meeting tonight, I came around the corner, there was one of the metal buildings on the northern corner of the property that had more of a glare, that was a noticeable glare from me at driving level than what a panel is. So, there's a lot of those safeguards. There's an actual FAA interactive tool that you can actually put the array at this location, and it goes out, I guess it's like a quarter of a mile checkpoint out to 2 miles to see what the shade impact would be. So that's something that has to be passed. It is a process, and the FAA has to be involved to make sure that we're going through their process, you know, carefully. We have not done this before, I'll be quite honest with you, as an organization. We have done a lot of other firsts in the state. We have the first two landfill projects that are finalizing their permitting. We have a lot of things that we can overcome, and we would lean on some experts for that. But mostly we're just here to share an opportunity to the board, and just like to leave it open for questions that, you know, any concerns or what your process might be. Again, Mr. Jackson shared, there were others that were he reached out to. We do have the wherewithal and the skill sets to get to the local and utility and now ultimately FAA permitting process.
I know I was talking earlier with some of the users, and one of the questions was for the installation of the solar raise and instrument approach minimums for our runway.
Say that one more time, sorry.
Well, the installation of the solar panel, will that raise minimums for the approaches for our airport, our instrument approaches?
So that's one thing I educated myself a little bit about before I came to the meeting tonight. So the two components is that portion, which you just brought up, and the glare, the two main items that need to be kind of vetted out by FAA. So again, it's a new learning process for me what that would be, but most of the research that has been done, and there's like 30 different large-scale solar installations in the city because they're quasi-large, has been installed to date at 15 different states. So there's data that shows that those issues can be addressed. And again, unlike the Manchester Airport project, it was new, unfortunately. I will give a little bit of, you know, defense to the folks that did it, that there just wasn't the knowledge of what are we looking for, because there weren't many of them at the time. So now there's more guidance, there's more tools. From what I understand, the FAA has more reports and analysis that's been done. So we would just follow those guidelines carefully and make sure there's no impact to either of those concerns.
Two questions. As this is near the end of beginning 1-4, is the runway safety area, is that still protected? Does this go into the safety area at all?
It will be in the runway safety area for the runway 1-4 approach. It's my understanding that FAA's criteria as far as non-compatible uses is typically any kind of a building or application that is a place of assembly. So, aside from what, annual cleaning?
Maybe, if even that, and maybe an annual checkup by an electrician to go out and spend a couple hours looking at the system.
Yeah, can you describe where on the airport? Is it India ramp or is it on the airport?
No, I'd be better to pull it up on Google
if I can. And my other question while you're doing that is there any other place on the airport property that this could be located?
There was one other site that jumped out at me initially that I had brought to everybody's attention. I think the concern was future development. Being careful of master plan, other buildings, other things that would come in. So this year really, again, as long as it meets some of the local and state and any FAA type requirement, you wouldn't build something.
$15,000 a year is your proposal, and then in 3 years, in addition to the $13,000 you'd be paying us, you'd also sell us power at what rate?
So I shared with you on that page, on the first page, there's some rate examples. So part of our proposition here is, because it is community solar, and community solar is meant for everybody to benefit, not only you guys as the landowner, and potentially you as a future buyer of the power. But on the lower part of that first page, there's some example rates that we would want to offer to the community members and the businesses right here in your footprint. You know, you guys should benefit, but so should the businesses that are also here. So,
20-year terms, you have 20-year contract to supply these rates?
Correct.
What if the business is sold, or what if they don't want to own and have the business for 20 years? Can you sign up for less? I mean, it's a long time to commit to the electrical rate.
It is. Unfortunately, so we go to a bank and get a 15-year mortgage on the equipment. So our underwriters require it. It's not, I mean, most of the solar industry in the country is built off of these just because somebody is mortgaging the equipment, which is a big capital expense. This would be about a $2.5 million project that we would spend. So we have to go to our bank, get that loan. So unfortunately, I can't offer a 5-year rate because that jeopardizes the economics of who's kind of paying for the power. So it isn't for everybody. Respectfully, some people, it's hard to get past that. We totally respect that. But at the end of the day, some large organizations, municipalities, schools, they like that known factor.
But we're currently at 13 cents, roughly.
Yeah, that's what that resource. What we did.
And so you'd be able to offer power at, 8.25?
Yeah, there's different rates with different escalations. So we have low rates with high escalations that change each year by that escalation amount, up to a fixed rate with no escalation.
So 10 cents with a 3 cent escalation.
You got it.
8.25 with a 5% escalation.
Eversource has escalated their rates on average 7.9% over the last 11 years. Those are their numbers, not mine.
Per year? 7.9 per year?
7.9. You got it.
That's a little far.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to.
Okay.
northwest. It's right there. There you go.
So here's the end of the runway.
Yeah.
Correct.
And the center line is pretty much going right here.
No, no, way up here.
I mean, I'm trying. I have a polygon. I'm gonna put right on top of it.
Yeah, it's something.
Nice. Yeah, you're saying that to me.
It's this parcel here.
Yeah, just.
It's actually right here, the section line here.
And the array faces this way.
Exactly.
On the northwest side of Deerwood Drive.
Yeah, that section right there.
And this is in the approach and the zone. So as far as construction there, what would we be able to do with that,
nothing,
if anything?
We'd be able to probably put a rental car parking lot there. There's very specific criteria about what FAA will allow in a runway protection zone. I know a rental car parking lot's one. There's a couple others too.
That's west.
What's allowed in a runway protection zone?
Basically, everything except people.
Yeah.
Well, there's a height restriction we'd have to live with, maybe 25 feet.
I don't. What kind of height are those?
Only up to like 6 feet.
15 feet.
Six.
I think you'd probably be all right with that.
Yeah, I think there's usually.
Just going to start at the center line
of the
runway and go like this.
My point is that I'm just trying to see if would that ever be any future development for the next 25, 30 years.
In that area?
In this area right here.
Wet.
It's got the water table is 3 feet below.
It's awful wet up there.
It's wet.
It's relatively useless. And there is phase three, what is it, phase three power? Right.
Yes,
there?
Three-phase power right there. That's a critical piece of our evaluation. Is you can't just do it anywhere. You have to have the infrastructure there.
And their access, maintenance access could come in.
Off of that side road.
Right here. And
the construction process, just for a reference point, if that is a concern, initially the racking system, depending because the water table is pretty low, we would evaluate, can we pile drive, which is what we typically do. So like a skid steer, like a bobcat type, like a fence post pile driver, would be there for, you know, a couple of weeks driving those posts. Or we would set concrete ballast blocks that sometimes are used for our landfill projects. So the infrastructure process is with that type of equipment. And then after that, it's people putting panels on racks and tying everything into, you know, the telephone, the power lines. So it's not a heavy construction process. Again, it's pretty low key construction.
So I personally don't have any issue with the development, the location and all that stuff. I just have a kind of an issue with the return.
Okay.
The 13,000. Sure. I think it's too low.
Okay.
Maybe we can work something out, but we currently, that's 160,000 feet you're asking for, 4 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And we currently are charging about, 12 cents a foot.
Mm-hmm.
What you're proposing is about 8 cents, 13,
160. Yeah, I add though, Dennis, that I don't know, you could not use that property for much of anything. It's wet. You can't build anything there. So I think you want to take into consideration.
We're getting 12 cents per square foot. We're telling our renters that they're way under, they're paying a lot less than the market. We're looking at other airports charging 25, 35, 40 cents a square foot. And then we turn right around and lease airport land. I don't care where it is, for 8 cents? I don't think so. I just think there's probably a little bit more opportunity to look into this and see how we come to a mutual decision.
Yeah, and I respect that. And this honestly isn't meant for every location. We really look for pieces of land that have otherwise no value, because the reason why we have a rate that we offer, and there is a little room there, not much, because what I don't know is, because there's a very high water table there, are we going to have to do something different to even put it there? And then the issue is the utility. You know,
the biggest thing is having this here is the opportunity to jump on board with all of our businesses and all of the tenants of the airport getting a reduced rate.
Correct.
Okay, and a rate guarantee over the next 20 years,
mm-hmm.
when everybody's skittish and concerned about the electrical rates going up, which is why Gordon started this whole process.
And may I add, it's also a very good public relations project as well. Very good PR for the airport.
Yeah.
They do this. I might add that Keene has also jumped on, not with Dan, but Keene is also doing a solar project.
Yeah, I was part of, well, down in Swansea, I was part early on, helped him out with that project, actually.
City of Keene's doing an easy airport lane.
Yep.
What's the timing of construction, start to finish?
About a month and a half or two.
And
once all the permits are in place. That's six or 8 months.
Are there certain constraints, though, because you, after a certain point, don't you lose some economic advantage through the government?
So there's two things that are happening in parallel. The state has allowed only so much solar that can be built and put power back on the grid. And then there is a federal tax credit that we receive as part of our, you know, incentive for doing these projects that expires at the end of 2016. So there's a little bit of a sprint going on right now because there is only enough room for about, let's call it 25 projects in Eversource's territory. We have 22 of them already going on. So there's a very small amount of projects that are available to before they have to go back to the legislature and ask to raise the limit. So we do take on that risk ourselves, that, you know, we look for new projects. But again, that project there has cleared already land that's cleared, relatively flat. If that was a wooded parcel land, it would be pretty strict for me. We can't offer more because we're going to have to incur the site cost. You have a cleared piece of land, which does help. The only hesitation I have, and I'm happy to, you know, work with the board on, you know, a little bit different or higher rate, is once I get clarity on what the impact of the engineering is at that site. Can we dry post, or if we're putting ballast blocks there because the water table is too low, or I should say too high, it adds 20% to my project cost just by doing that type of an installation. So it may just not work.
I understand, but if you're tearing down already and you don't encounter it, so if you want to come in with a multi-tier proposal on related to construction costs.
It's either $13,000 or $15,000. That's just what I can get, what works in our pro forma.
Right.
Just to be honest with you, I mean, and you can, in all of our public projects, it's a very similar thing. We have a $13,000 rate and a $15,000 rate, just because that, when we put into our pro forma, based on those, is something that we use. For 1 megawatt, exactly. And it may not, again, respectfully.
What about 2 megawatts?
Can only do one per piece of land, state law.
And no other proposals from any other companies?
We have sent out, Steve and I, and we put together all the necessary requests for documentation and sent them out to people. And we have one company that calls me every once in a while and it's like, okay, what are you doing? And I don't hear back from them, you know. And so, as I said, Andrew's the only one that has come forward with any kind of. And I don't know whether it's the net metering thing that they're not. I'm not sure. You know, this net. I assume the net metering is somewhat of a new issue for some of these companies. I don't know.
Okay, well, I like the prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I think the returns are low, but I think that you might be able to help out with those by preparing some sort of analysis on how it's going to stay. I mean, I don't care. You know, it's throw a number like $25,000 a year is my goal.
Mm.
I don't care if $13,000 or $15,000 comes from you,
mm-hmm.
and the other $10,000 comes from savings from all the tenants at the airport. If you come back and say, hey, not only is the airport authority going to get this income, but the tenants, as they sign up on contracts, here's their usage, here's what they could potentially save over the next 20 years, that might be the hurdle. And then you can have all these tenants who tell us what to do all the time, jumping on board.
And respectfully, Council, we're already there. So the good news is that, so we have an amount allocated for the land lease and an amount allocated for the energy savings for the group members, as we call them. So just as what I've seen from a lot of our customers who have already signed on to these long-term contracts, and most of them are schools and municipalities, have gone with the rate that's basically a penny less than what the current rate is with the supplier. So that's a penny savings is the equivalent of $14,000 that we're going to pay out as part of our incentive to our group members, plus the $13,000 to $15,000. So you're already over your $25,000 aggregate benefit
right.
on day one. So if that
I'd like to see
needs,
that. Yeah, see analysis.
It's I'm happy to do it. It's a very simple chart to
and
show you guys.
And course hours, assuming that 2 years would be out of contract. Okay, so excellent presentation.
Thank you.
And I want to move on, but I also want to know, when do you need a commitment from us to make this happen? In your opinion, I'd like to get there more information from you. Have individual board members working with you
sure.
to bring a formal proposal.
Yep, absolutely.
And then check with the airport community, check with the FAA
yep.
on approaches
yep.
and other concerns, and just get some. I think we can do that in the next 60 days. But
oh yeah.
What? But when do you need it? When do you need your response?
What I would request is a non-binding letter of intent. And the reason I would ask for that from the board is because the more important item, well, the equal important item besides the FAA acceptance is Eversource's okay. And what they require of us is to spend $1,500 in engineering and application fees
right.
to submit to them so they can give us initial feedback to tell us if we even can connect there. Because there are places in the state, not many, and we've only hit a couple of them, where you physically just can't. There's constraints on that area. I don't think this is one, but that without that letter of intent, Eversource wouldn't believe that I have your permission. So I need some form of permission beyond just you saying, yeah, go ahead, Andrew. So if that could be done in the short term, because it takes them 20 days to respond to that engineering, it's an engineering review that they do. And then from there, and in that time frame, we can check the FAA stuff, we can do some of the glare, research, and then at that point we'll have enough information to come back to the board, along with the economics, which again I'm confident we can meet that your numbers, to then look for your attorney to review the lease, which is a pretty
I think what you can get today is just a non-binding consent from the board that we like this plan
mm-hmm.
and it's worth investigating. To get a non-binding letter from us, we take our due diligence to
okay.
look at, check with the users of the airport, check with the FAA,
mm-hmm.
Make sure that you're the only game in town, okay, of course, before we close the doors on anybody else.
Sure.
And so that would probably take 60 days or so. But if you want,
why don't you make a motion?
I think it's asked a question. We don't need a motion, but we say all those in favor of pursuing this, let's just show some hands. It's just pretty much showing that the board, yeah, he has the board's interest in it.
Mm-hmm. And to entertain a proposal at some future time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. We're missing a board member. What happened to
him? How competitive are you, Wade?
As far as the lease rates or the energy
rates?
We have kind of created the market because nobody else has jumped on this. Yeah, we have competitors, but there's nobody has gone through the process in its entirety besides us at the scale that we've done it at. We've tried to create a stable number that is based on the Massachusetts rates that have been defined. So the answer is we're competitive because there's other ways to craft higher leases, and we've done it. Just the example I just gave you, we give you $25,000 and we call it a lease, but you're also a group member and you get your power from us, on paper. So there's ways to craft an apple to an orange or an apple to an apple.
So
a tenant who would sign up with your program
mm-hmm.
would be seamless to them for their
correct.
Electrical needs.
They keep paying the bill just as is, and we send them a check every month that trues up their electric
they
bill.
They just have a 20-year contract. So
yep,
right.
Exactly. Every month they get a true-up, an accounting true-up.
One more.
Are there any maintenance considerations for us to consider? Operational considerations? You need water to wash them every now and again?
Nope.
Security considerations?
Not on us.
Okay.
You only to your point about the return on investment, your only return is your cost for your attorney to review the lease, and then thereafter it's all positive cash flow to the airport. So we own it, operate it, maintain it, insure it, oversee all that. That's our responsibility. Come up with the cash to build it, bring on the tax partners and everything.
Okay, so let's have a show of hands for all those who enthusiastically support pursuing this venture. All those opposed? Okay, that should give you an indication of where we stand.
Appreciate
okay?
it. Thank you, sir.
We just need to do a little bit of investigation, research, and make sure it's the best deal we can reach with you. Okay?
Sounds good to me.
Any last Thank comments you. On this before we move on? Yes, sir.
Just a quick question. Could you tell me what the angle of inclination would be of those lights?
Typically, we go between 25 to 35 degrees, depending on... And that's something that can be looked at with the FAA glare. You know, that's one thing that can, if a glare-ish consideration came up in that report, we could always adjust. But typically, you're at 25 to 35 degrees, 180 degrees azimuth.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, the airport man, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate it. And, you know, you don't have to hang around. Like, you won't be employed.
I won't.
Thank
you.
Okay.
Appreciate
I'm sure the rest of the meeting is going to be... airport manager has two items. Go ahead and take both of them, if you would. Aviation Discovery and Sound Quest.
Yeah, the Aviation Discovery Day. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Aviation Discovery Day is something that's being proposed by Pilgrim Aviation. It's basically a sort of an open house, inviting the community to the airport. They'll have airplane rides, static displays, a bouncy house, food, and snow cones. They're proposing to use the lawn area south of the air traffic control tower outside the fence, and the only airfield access would be escorting people to the airplanes for rides.
It's outside the fence on June 27th, and the hours are?
Oh, you have to ask me that.
I think it's 1 to 4, isn't it?
I think it's longer, isn't it?
Or maybe longer.
Potentially all day.
Yeah, all day or half day.
Okay.
And, I received a sign request from tenant Hangar Zero on the corner of Pine Hill and Perimeter. He'd like to hang a hangar space for rent sign similar to what Nashua Jet has put on some of their buildings. The way he described it was a vinyl sign, hangar space for rent. I think he included a picture that I forwarded. It was actually a picture of an existing sign. Is he here? He's not here today, but I had asked him to come here today. His name is Kenneth Nielsen. Looks like he could make it.
Any comments? Does that need a board approval? I don't think it does. No, there's nothing in there.
Per our standards and procedures, any signs need to be approved by the airport authority.
We've done it.
Did you change that yet, Tom?
We've given approval for other signs.
Do we want to approve this contingent upon the airport manager's review and approval and let him take care of it? Or do we want to... Personally, I think that's enough for me. I mean, as long as the size is similar in color and formatting, which you can approve. So...
But, Steve, how do you feel about that sign?
It's not my decision, it's yours. It's the airport authority that decides.
If we're going to throw it in your lap to approve or to do it.
So long as it meets, as long as it's secured safely, I have no opinion.
Yes.
May I ask, Shane, what sort of response are you getting from these signs that you have up now? Are they functional? Are they actually working for you? Are they doing what you want them to do?
This one's not Shane.
We haven't done any marketing analysis to make a determination. Surely Shane can walk into the area. We haven't done any marketing analysis to make a determination as to whether or not the signs are actually bringing in. Should we be doing that? Perhaps you can argue we have. We're just so happy to get the calls when they come in. I would suggest to you that you need to have the signs up just to make people aware. You don't know whether or not they're actually responding to the sign that they happen to see or in the plant seats subconsciously. They call you 2 weeks later because I remember I saw a sign. So that may not directly answer your question. We don't have data on that because we haven't been drawn. But we can.
Shame on you.
Pardon me?
Shame on you.
Well,
the marketing in you is
thank you, Shane. I just don't see how we cannot allow someone who has a vacant building not to have a for rent sign on it.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the sign request pending review by the airport manager.
I'll second that motion.
There you go.
Any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Yes.
Okay. So, have I left anything out?
Yeah.
Role? Yes, I have. Sorry. Roles and responsibilities.
Secretary. A while ago, it was asked by some of the airport community to see the manager's job description. It's a public record. You know, at the time, things were a little volatile. So I got a copy of the job description, very lengthy. I thought it went a little overboard. Reviewed it a little. There are some things in here that don't really mesh. I thought it, Dennis and I talked about it. Dennis talked to Steve, and we've all kind of thought about it a little bit. So I've reworked some of it. I still have some stuff I want to rework and put before the board. I do think, one of the second thing on Steve's job description was establishes and enforces rules and regulations and operating procedures and stuff. So that kind of goes against our standards and procedures, but it was second on his job description. So that has to be changed a little.
No, actually the S&P allows him that authority.
To establish and enforce.
Yes.
So
under certain conditions.
Under certain conditions, right. So it just has to be reworked a little bit. The hiring and firing process that we've been going through lately is tough. Steve's the airport manager. He should be able to, in my opinion, and we'll have to talk about that, interview people, hire somebody that he feels is suited and able to do the job. So that's something I want to address with the board, too. So I've reworked it a little bit. There's still some work to do. I really think advocating for the airport is huge. The users have all talked about it, not just one or two. Everybody has talked about that should be the most important role of the manager. So I have been reworking it, just so that you all know it's in process, and I will bring it before the board. For a final review, I suppose, next meeting. So that's all on that, roles and responsibilities. But just so you know, it's being addressed, and if you have any input, Steve, I know, has reviewed it, and I guess you don't have much.
I think it, I personally think it lays out my responsibilities quite well.
We can tweak it somewhat, but the idea here is that those roles and responsibilities, we didn't know they existed until somebody asked for them. But they were never assigned to Steve. They've been in the system probably for 30 years without changing them. And so consider them dug out of a deep drawer without too much thought in the last 20 plus years. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Okay.
This one was
so when the new airport manager was hired a couple years ago, we did not put those in front of him, and his role and responsibilities have been verbal and through meetings and that kind of stuff. So it'd be nice to sit down and hash through these, get rid of the ones that don't need it, enforce the ones that we do, make some tweaking. So I'm glad you're on it. So how soon can you have a final edit for us?
I can have it tomorrow. No. I'll give it to you. You want it before
next
the
meeting?
Next meeting? Do you
no.
Pass it out to
you? But ideally, it's something we need a week or two before the next meeting so we can read through it, maybe give you some comments back. And what I'd like you to do is over the next 6 weeks, 4 weeks, you don't know yet how long to push the meeting out. Over the next 5 weeks, they just take sections of it and go back and forth with us and consolidate comments.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Okay, that concludes the new business public input. Does anybody have any? Yes.
Thank you. I just want to thank Sandy for donating all of
food and ice cream and all the things that you talked about before, and the advertising, all those things you do, I think it's a great service, and the airport community, I'm sure, is grateful.
Well, thank you very much. Everybody contributes, so it's not...
I appreciate
not
that to everybody, then, but all the ads in the paper and all those kinds of things that I think we contribute to. Thanks.
Is there any other public input? Oh, great. Director comments, I will lead off with meeting for next, for July. We will be going through the budget at the next meeting, and Mike will not be available on the Wednesday of that week, so I recommend that we push it off for one full week to the fourth Wednesday of July instead of the third Wednesday of July.
Which is the 22nd, I believe.
I think, yes.
We'll have to coordinate with Webster because they rearranged, they have a lot going on that month, and they rearranged their room already for us. But that, they just have a lot, camps and different things going on.
Okay, can you check on that, Steve? Unless there's any objection, we'll plan on the 4th Wednesday in July.
22nd.
The 22nd.
Mm-hmm. Check on what, I'm sorry?
If, check on this room
availability.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Okay. Other director comments? Would you like to go first?
No, I'll go last. Mike, you go first. You're quiet.
Okay. I thought this was a very good meeting. I did find it challenging this year going to the budget committee at the Alderman. It was one Alderman that criticized us about not giving a full representation of what our year-to-date figures were, which had not been provided. It's never been provided. Subsequently, we did provide that information. And going forward, we will provide any and all information that the Alderman requests.
Okay.
I have nothing except to ditto with what Michael said, and I think it's a learning experience we have in our relationship with the Aldermanic Board, and we've gained some insightful information, so hopefully in the future, we'll be able to represent our needs more efficiently.
Gordon?
I was disappointed by the turnout we had for the legislative, although I myself was not able to attend, but I understand that it was a light turnout, and that's unfortunate. But I think we should continue with those sort of programs. Also, as you know, Tracy Hatch is the new president of the Chamber of Commerce here in Nashua, and I think it's imperative that we pay close attention and also work very closely with the Chamber from the standpoint of that's the economic engine of the community, and I think that's where we can make a good inroads.
She was in attendance.
Yes. I know that. Oh, yes, I understand. I'm just saying that you know, as well as trying to work with the city itself, I think we should also concentrate on the chamber, as well as other chambers in the general greater Nashua area.
Okay, now that I've cleared the desk for Sandy, please.
Okay, sorry. He doesn't like me encroaching on his space. So a lot of things this month has been a really productive month, I think, as far as users and the board. Paul Scar brought a lot of stuff to our attention, and that was really, really helpful. Andy Nance, Mike and I met with him about some of his concerns. Some people called about concerns about things happening around the airport or things that weren't getting done that they thought might need to be done. And I find that stuff helpful because I don't look at it every day. I might not be in your area of the airport or whatever. There might be things that the maintenance guys are trying to get to and aren't able to or whatever. But if we don't know, we can't address it. So I really appreciate you guys coming to us
and, you know, giving us your input because it really is helpful. So thank you for that. Matt Barabee is not here tonight, but he is the new maintenance guy, and he's great. He's very helpful. If you see him around, he was at the legislator cookout cooking for everybody. He's wonderful, very helpful. So if Steve's not around, Ron and Dan are not working as many hours now, so Matt is the one to go to. He's really helpful. So, and Mary Beth, I'm thrilled to have her here. We interviewed a lot of people, and she was my first pick. I think she was everybody's first pick. After we interviewed everyone, she was everybody's first pick. So very, I think she'll be great getting information that anybody needs. While we were at that budget meeting, somebody was there talking about the cleanup crews and stuff going on around the city. And there's a lot of volunteers, groups of volunteers that go and they help clean up the parks. So I thought it would be great if we had an airport crew. I know the S&P committee is done, so maybe all those guys can volunteer to help clean up the parks and stuff. have a lot of time on your hands.
We're going to work on barbed wire.
You're the barbed wire crew? I'm going to write that down. So seriously, though, I think us contributing to the city will also help raise awareness of the airport. So I know everybody has a lot of time constraints, but if you can, let's try to put something together to do that. Let me see. I want to thank Alderman Shoneman and Alderman McCarthy because they've been very, very good at letting me, run things by them and giving me advice. So anything you don't like, you can blame them. Let me see. I have a few more things. The Aviation Museum fly-in. Aviation Museum of New Hampshire did a fly-in, a little gathering here, and it was very, very fun, very successful. I think they used Nashua Jets Hangar. They were thrilled. They asked me to cater it, but I was at a Red Sox game that day, so Celebrations Catering did that, and they were thrilled. So everything went well with that. They also had people drive in, so that was good. Let me see. Sorry, I have a few more things. I'll just find them. Oh, I know a lot of concerns. People are concerned about having events and asking permission versus notification. And I'm still unclear about that. As far as I'm concerned, and maybe you guys can help me with this, we're trying to promote the airport. We want to work together, we want our businesses to thrive, and we want everybody, to do fun things here. I do think it's necessary to notify everyone. Because if you don't notify the manager and people have questions or something happens or whatever. So notification, I think, is a common courtesy. When you're in your own business, I'm in my business doing, if I want to have a pancake breakfast, do I need to notify? Do I need to ask for permission? That's a huge thing. So we need to figure that out. In my opinion, and let me know how you all feel, but I think common courtesy is to say, hey, by the way, Tuesday night I'd like to do this, or whatever, or I am doing this. Just so that if parking is an issue, like I know with one of the events I was concerned because it's during my business hours, and I pay rent, and so if all the parking was taken up with this event, what happens to my business? So different things like that. So I think we need to notify the manager just so that the community has a heads up. I think we all need to know. As far as asking permission to do business in your own business, I think, I'm not sure where you left that.
The S&P committee addressed that issue. And the idea here is that we are a friendly airport. Our tenants are free to do as they choose on their leased property. And it really, we didn't add anything or delete anything concerning that. And you bring up a good point there. The Airport Authority is not police preventing people from having functions as long as they're being held on private property, but it's just being polite and common sense and and nice to your fellow man to work out with the event with the airport manager so he can notify everybody else and make sure it's compatible with your neighbors. It's just good business sense. But we're not going to create any new rules or restrict people from doing it, other than the fact that, remember, you've got to find parking and access and other things on airport property which you're not asking permission for. So that's kind of where we left it, right?
Sounds fine.
Okay. Okay. We've had a lot of very busy last 3 weeks. I don't know if we're going to have an August meeting. It kind of depends on the July meeting. But thanks to a lot of people who've been involved in the event and the S&P and the budget review on our CIP, the alderman involvement, and that's encouraging. It takes a team. We would certainly, anybody who wants to be involved in something, let us know. As we go through the several things on our agenda, each director has taken a lead to work them out and bring them to the rest of the board and keep people in communication. And if there's any effort, thank you, Wes, for jumping in on the MTVE thing. You're the resource that we have, and we're just trying to formalize the process and get things done. So I just want to say it's good teamwork, and I think we've come a long way, and it's just and leveraging all our abilities working together. So thanks. With that, do I have a motion to adjourn? All those in favor of adjourn, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm going to go to college.